Last Sunday night we preached to you on a sharp, two-edged sword. We'll continue that tonight. I hate to start a message when I can't get it all done in one time. Just too much here to cover in one Sunday night. So we want to cover part of the rest of it tonight if we can. And I'd like for you to pray that the Lord's will might be done. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read one verse for you that we read last Sunday night. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We talked last Sunday night about what the Bible is, what the Bible is called. The Bible is called many different things. It's the word of God, the word of Christ, the word of the Holy One. We realize, you know, it's the word a lot in Israel. It's the word of life. It's the word of reconciliation. It's the word of the Father and the word of the Spirit. And we're so glad tonight that it is God's eternal word. I'd like to move on down tonight and talk to you a little bit about what the Bible does. You know, when we think about the word of God, the most precious book that's ever been printed, the only thing we have that's eternal in this world, except our salvation, the only thing that God left us that'll never be done away with. What the Bible does. What does the Bible do for us? What in the world do we have the Bible for? Why do you put so much emphasis on the Word of God and the Bible? Well, first of all, the Bible guides us as a lamp. The Bible said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In no other book can such light be found as that which is found in God's Word. If you want a lamp for your feet and a light for your path, turn to the Word of God. The people of this world are in darkness because they've never allowed God's Word to enter their hearts. Oh, this Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword of the Word of God said. And I'm so glad tonight that we can know it. I'm glad we can have it abiding with us and we can study it and we can realize it and rely upon it. Psalms 119, verse 130 tells us, The entrance of thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I'm glad that you don't have to be a professor to be able to understand a portion of the Word of God. Now, you may not be able to understand all of it, to know all the truths of it, but anybody can understand portions of the Word of God. And we're so glad that it's that simple. That a wayfaring man, though a fool, should not err therein. The Word of God said the way of God is. I want you to know ignorance about right and wrong dwells in people who have ignored God's written Word. Sin runs rampant and wild in this vile world because the people of this world have turned away from God's written Word. Humanists prevail because the Word of God has been rejected. Light rejects, right rejected brings knife. Socialism allowed to dominate nations because they have refused God's way set forth in His written Word. You know the reason that Germany was such a vile nation? Know the reason that Russia was such a vile nation? Know the reason that many of the places of the world, Iran and Iraq and many of them, they rejected the Word of God and accepted another word for the most part, that old Koran, you know, that word that's been written that's not the Word of God, intended to replace the Word of God. But I'm glad God's Word is simple and pure and holy and right. And I'm glad that it is. The Bible gives us the truth. Oh, the Bible said in Psalm 119, 160, Thy word is true from beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgment endureth forever. The Lord's Prayer of John 17, we read the words of our Savior, Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want the pure truth, go to the written word. You will never find truth in any of the books of this world written and claimed to be holy books by men or women. And then not only that, but the Bible, when engrafted in believers, keeps him cleaned up. I'm glad the Word of God will clean you up. When we read the Bible and read it from our heart and apply it to our heart, thank God, I'm glad it will clean your soul and make you right with Him. Wherefore lay apart all filth and superfluities of nonsense and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. The salvation of the soul here speaking of the purification of our life and effect which are the expression of our soul's activity since the Lord saved us. The believer in Christ already saved is to receive with meekness the engrafted
grafted word, that word received is allowed to enter the inner being and clean it up, clean us up. That is why our verse says, lay apart all filth and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. The word of God will cleanse your heart. The word of God will clean you. The word of God will drive out of you all that filthiness of the flesh. I'm so glad and so. God put his word in our hearts when he said that. And we'll receive that engrafted word to allow it to do the work on us God intended it to do. You will never be able to see the work of God apart from the written word of God. Now somebody said, preacher, what about the written word? Well, thank God, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We hide words in our heart that we may not sin against God. Then the fourth thing I want to tell you tonight is the word of God reveals purity. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Psalms 12:6 said, thy words, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a fire furnace, on fire purified seven times. Psalms 19:8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. True purity can only be found and known through the written word of God. I'm so glad that it's so. And then the Word of God is creative in the fifth place. The Word of God is creative. I'm glad that 1 Peter 3:5 said, for this day willing you are ignorant of, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And this one verse, many verses that speak of the creating by the Word of God. God spoke, and it was done. They sang the song, created without hands. God didn't have to use his hand. He just spoke, and it was done. The first day and the second day and all the other day. And the Bible said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm glad, thank God, that the Word of God spoken is the most powerful thing in all this world. And then the Word of God is upholding. Hebrews 1:3 said, he'll be in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Colossians 1:17 tells us, by him all things consist. It is by the Word of God that all things are held together and held up. Oh, aren't you glad that that's so? The Word of God holds this thing together. We don't see how that it can stay together long, do we? We don't see how it could stay together as long as it has. But the Word of God holds everything together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, who are the called according to his purpose. God is in command. God is in charge. God is faithful. The seventh thing I want to tell you tonight is the Word of God is faithful. Faithful. Oh, that word has lost some of its power, hasn't it? We think about faithful in our day. I wonder what we really mean by that. Holding fast the faithful word as ye have been taught, that ye may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. God is faithful, and so is God's word faithful. We can never cease to give thanks that this is true. God's people are faithful to the house of God. Why did you come tonight? You didn't come to see or to be seen, did you? You didn't come just merely to have fellowship. I hope we'll have some fellowship together in the Word of God. But you came tonight because you love the Lord and because you want to give thanks unto him. And then the eighth place I want to tell you, God's Word is food. God's Word is food. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised through the discerning both good and evil. And then not only that, but God's Word is eternal. What does God's Word do? God's Word is eternal. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall abide forever, it says in the Bible. And the Word of God is powerful in the tenth place. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, peace-piercing, even of the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, out of the joints and marrow, as is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank God for what the Word of God does. But then in the third place, in the final part of my message tonight, I want to talk to you on what the believer and what the Bible enables the believer to do. What the Bible enables the believer to do. Somebody said, "Preacher, we're glad the Word of God is great. We're glad the Word of God is what it is. And we're glad that the Word of God has all these attributes attributed to it." But the Word of God, the Bible, enables the believer to do. What can this eternal, infallible, inerrant Word of God enable the saved to do? First of all, by the Word of God, we overcome. Aren't you glad? I'm glad we're not overcome by Satan, but we can overcome by the Word of God. Revelation 12 and 10 said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This same thing that God's Word will do for tribulation saints in the coming a time of judgment on earth, God will do for us now. We're enabled through the indwelling Holy Spirit to overcome the enemy. We have to face by the blood of the Lamb and by the Word of God. Our testimony is based on what God's Word says. I'm glad tonight that it's so, aren't you? And then by the Word of God, we labor. We labor by the Word of God. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the Word and doctrine. It's hard to labor in the Word and doctrine. There's so many foolish ideas in this world about the Bible and about religion. When you labor in the doctrines of this world, it cuts across the grain of what so many people believe. But what the Word of God teaches is the faith that makes the difference. Labor in the Word is that which the God of glory enables His called servants do. We live in this world. There are no spiritual pills that one can take to make him smart in the Word of God. There is no laying on the hand of men's hands that equips God's servant to labor for God in the Word and doctrine. There is no school. There is no college. There is no university. And certainly there is no seminary that will make a preacher. God must call him to preach. He may sharpen his skills. And he may improve himself and may be able to be a more effective preacher because he learns how to study of the Word of God. But no seminary, no college, no school, no Bible institute will ever make a preacher out of man. He must be called of God to preach the Word of God. God's called preachers are to labor in the Word and doctrine in order to be able to feed God's saints and to lead the lost to Christ. We're to labor in the world. To be enabled to labor for God in the world. Labor in the Word to be enabled to labor for God in the world. By the Word of God, we hold fast in the third place. Titus 1 and 19 tells us, holding fast the faithful Word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince of the gainsayer. Nothing man can say or do can ever make God's servant turn loose of the anchor of God's faithful Word. Agents of the devil will do all they can to try to make one turn away from God's written Word, but by the grace of God, our anchor holds tonight, and the Word of God is sure. By the Word of God, the saved are sanctified. You know, we get afraid of that word. Us Baptist folk are kind of afraid of that word, sanctified. But if it hadn't been a good word, God wouldn't have used it, would he? What does it mean, preacher? To be set apart, to be drawn out, to be set aside for a certain thing. The Bible said in John 17, 70, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you're going to be sanctified, you'll have to be by the Word of God. It'll not be by coming to the altar and saying an hour or two, holding on or holding out or getting some extra work of grace. But the Word of God will sanctify that you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When men have had the truth preached to them, they're set apart to the glory of God to honor Him and glorify Him. I'm glad, thank God, we can be sanctified. Oh, the Lord sets apart those he saves through his written word and living word. In the fifth place, by the word of God, we are enabled to rejoice. To rejoice. Psalms 119, 162 said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. The words are found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. I'm so glad that the Word of God helps us to do things. Anybody who can rejoice over the Word of God will not be able to rejoice about anything worthwhile. Who cannot rejoice over the Word of God will not be able to rejoice over anything worthwhile. When the world is going to hell, the saved can, in the midst of trials and troubles, rejoice in what we find in God's treasure house of His infallible Word, all God's provision for us and all God's promises to us. Will our hearts to rejoice in the Lord and His Word. Aren't you glad? When all hail the Savior, God's Word will stay there. In the sixth place, God's Word, by God's Word, we're enabled to preach. 1 Timothy 4:2 said, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Any preaching that does not originate from the Word of God is not worth hearing. No man can preach to please God if he does not preach the Word of God. You can't get you up a bunch of illustrations and preach them and please God. You can't even convince men. That may be wonderful to use illustration how to drive home the Word of God once in a while. But my brother, it's not the illustrations that makes the difference. It's the Word of God. Aren't you glad? In the seventh place, in the final place, by God's Word, we're enabled to find comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me. Proverbs 6:20 speak of the Father's commandment and the law of thy mother. We believe that that verse can surely be applied to the written Word of God. Proverbs 6:22 says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. What should Christians do with the Word of God? We ought to read it. We ought to believe it. We ought to love it. And we ought to obey it. That's the gist of what the Word of God is saying. Someone wrote these words, O wonderful, wonderful Word of the Lord. True wisdom, its pages unfold. And though it may read them 1,000 times over, though we may read them 1,000 times over, they never, no never, grow old. Each line hath a treasure, each promise a pearl, as that all, if they will, may secure. And we know that when time and the world pass away, God's Word shall forever endure. That's why the psalmist said, I hid His Word in my heart, that I may not sin against God. I'm glad, praise God, the Word of God will take you through. The Word of God will lead you on out. The Word of God will lead you in the green pasture. The Word of God will lead you in the altar when you need to pray. The Word of God will lead you out to Him when you need to witness. And the Word of God will help you tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus. I want the musicians to come to the instruments. Play the song of invitation that we'll sing. I want to ask you tonight, is there somebody here who doesn't have real responsibility, real appreciation for the Word of God? If you don't respect this Bible, this Word of God, and you don't believe it and not willing to abide by it and not willing to go all the way with it, I invite you to this altar tonight to get right with God. You need something. You need something in your life and in your heart. You need a touch of God in your soul. Ask if you're unsaved, you'd come down here and get saved. If you're a wayward child of God, you'd come. Get right with God, get back right with God. Have Him restore to you the joy of His salvation and renew a right spirit within you that you may rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. While we stand and sing, what